looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I felt His arms around me as I face my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As your grace rolled down upon me, undeserved, for God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. God's been good.
Start in Luke chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1. You know, it's interesting. You sing and practice those songs, and you practice it musically and prepare it. But then when you come in church and you share a song and not just sing it, then you watch people's faces, and it becomes a little different, doesn't it? That's what we want it to do. We want it to be something that there's a message in the song. Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin reading in verse 20. Well, let's see here. Let's just begin and read verse 38. Let's all stand together. Find your place there. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. We're going to go back to verse 26. Sorry. Verse 26. I want to get the whole story in here. I'm going to kind of deal with a little bit past there, but I want us to get started. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Verse 27, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Let's pray together this morning. Our Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness, thankful for your wonderful grace, your mercy. Thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, that's come to this world to fulfill your plan. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us this morning as we go into your word and we look at this moment of thanksgiving as well as all the things that accompany it. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now today. Lord, would you guide us? Would you give us ears to hear, tender hearts to receive? And Lord, I pray that you do a work in our lives that would be that would change us, Lord, and help us to be more like you. And we'll thank you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to preach a message this morning about Mary's thankfulness for God's favor. We find here a situation that came upon Mary. We're familiar with this story. I know we're very familiar with it, but I want us to look at a few things. I want to see, first of all, Mary's praise of God's character, of who God was. In verse 39, we find here that Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Listen, Mary begins this time of thanksgiving not by speaking of herself, but by magnifying the Lord. We find this, I'm telling you folks, this had been a very, it had been a confusing yet exciting time for Mary. Super confusing. So much to unpack of all that had happened unto her, right? All these things that were coming up here, there's fear. sphere of how to explain this. Imagine somebody coming and saying, you know, you're engaged and all of a sudden you're betrothed and all this kind of thing, and all of a sudden comes by this, the angel comes and says, you're going to have a baby. And yeah, this is what's going to happen. You're like, how am I going to explain that to people? Right? How are we going to go about this kind of thing? The fear of how to explain what's going on. Listen, when God begins to do a change in your life, it can be a little scary of how the rest of the world is going to understand it. Mostly the rest of the world, I mean, like your family, your friends, people, your coworkers, people you interact with. What's happened to you? And they're going to be, are you okay? Are you in a cult? I would say a Baptist church that hasn't been accused of being a cult hasn't arrived yet, you know. If following the Word of God doesn't make you different, something's wrong, right? But there is some fear. There's fear about what's going on here. She had some perplexity, really, in the sense of the angel speaking of her favor with God. Imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, you've been found highly favored of God. You're like, what on earth? I mean, what did I do? You know, could you imagine just kind of rehearsing back, what did I do? Right? Trying to figure that out. Then there's this thing of amazement of how this child would come. I mean, he said, how am I going to have a child? I don't know a man. Say, we got that covered. The Holy Spirit's going to come and overshadow you. Oh, that explains it. Wow, what's going on here? But she focused on God's greatness. I'm going to say this to you, folks. Rather than her circumstances. When we focus on us, before we focus on Him, we will let our circumstances dictate our response. Let me say that again. When we focus on us, before we focus on Him, we're going to let circumstances that come into our life dictate our responses. Okay? Listen, that is when we allow fear to do this thing we call, fear will immobilize us. I mean, fear will just stop us in our tracks. When we're focused on us, instead of on Him, fear will stop us. God is bringing something in a way, something's going on. Man, God was wanting her to use this lady in a pretty amazing way, I guess it'd be safe to say. Amen? And here it is. This is coming, and there was fear there. So what do you do? I mean, God may want to use you or me in this kind of way. And use us in a way that's going to be really spectacular, but fear comes upon us and can immobilize us. When we put us, we focus on us before Him, we'll allow the perplexity of our situation to confound us. Just, I mean, listen, we'll get into our own heads, right? Trying to figure out what God's doing. You ever done that? You sit there and you try to think of what on earth is God doing? What is He doing here? Then what we do, and then we begin to say, why is He doing this? And then, why is He doing this with me? And then we go to something like, am I crazy? And then we go to, should I even believe this? And then we're back to, what's God doing? We get in our own heads, and we go on this thing. For many, they get past the fear of being immobilized. They get completely bogged down here with overthinking what God is doing in their lives. So can I say this? Simply trusting is not so simple, is it? Just trust Him. Don't you love when preachers say stuff like that? You just need to trust God. Just trust God. Like that's just a simple thing. Man, it's pretty confounding. The perplexity of what's going on here, the fear. You get past the fear. You're like, okay, I'm just going to trust Him. And then you're like, but why? What is He doing? Why me? What's this? Wow, what if? Whew. Then, after those things, Then there is the amazement of what God has done in our lives, what He's doing. When circumstances dictate response, then those that get past the fear and the perplexity get caught up right here, wondering this, wondering if they are even worthy of the honor bestowed upon them. God said He wants to use you to do something, and we begin to say, how on earth could God use me? The amazement that God would use me. How can this be so? Why would God choose me? I can't do it. I'm going to fail. I've never done anything like this before. You know what I should do? I should just back out now before I fail later. No, this is where we get into. This is how we get it in our heads. We get going. I'm telling you, have you ever gotten caught up in that whirlwind before? You're just going. You're like, okay, I'm just going to trust God and we push through the fear. By the way, if you're ever going to follow God, you're going to have to push through some fear. Then we're going to have to push through the perplexity of how this all works. The Bible says God's thoughts are pretty equal to man's. Is that what it says? It says something like that, but just completely opposite. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are past finding out. Okay? So who are we to think we're going to figure God out? I'm not saying we don't try. I think somebody that doesn't try is probably something went wrong with them. We want to try to figure out a little bit, but the truth is we're not going to get to that understanding. But being driven by circumstances is really quite silly, isn't it? Being driven by and figuring out this whirlwind that comes in, it is to suggest that God doesn't know what He's doing. Why would God do this to me? What's going on? And why would I can't do this? And listen, here's what Mary did. She rejoiced in God as my Savior, is what it says there. She recognized her own need for redemption first. That's what she found there. Thankfulness begins when God is big and we are small. When we'll truly praise His character, we won't live in the weeds of me. You see, this is where we do. We get down in the weeds of me. How am I going to deal with this? By the way, is that normal thinking? Sure it is. Normal thinking. You're like, well, I'm just different. Other people don't think like this. Right? Yeah, thank you. Exactly. That's funny. That's the silliness of this, isn't it? The silliness of this kind of thing of letting circumstance dictate. How am I going to do this? You know, maybe God got the wrong address. Right? Maybe He found the wrong person. God knows what He's doing. And I'll tell you what, when we get in the weeds of me and we get focused on, I'm telling you, it's a terrible, terrible situation. But that's what happens when we focus on let the circumstances dictate our response. The second thing is this. Not only did Mary praise God's character, but Mary praises God's grace. Again, verse 48. For He hath regarded the lowest state of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Wow. So look here. God chooses the lowly and delights to use those that the world overlooks. Those of low estate. So I just don't. I mean, I'm not really. Why would God choose me? Okay, here's the thing, folks. This morning, here's this. It's not you anyway. It's what God can do with you. Man, I can't do that. Really? You're right. I think you're right on that. When we say, "I'm not sure how I can do this," I can't. I can't do this. Amen. Well, if you got there, you're doing pretty good. Amen. I think if you say, "I'm just this is me," and here's the thing: it's not about you. It's not about me. What I can do, what you can do. It's about God doing something with us. He says again in verse 49: For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. Okay, God is not glorified when you do what you could have done without Him. Right? God's not glorified when you do what you could have done without Him. He is glorified when He does something spectacular with us in spite of our low estate. I mean, listen, God's grace turned Mary's ordinary life into something eternal. Wow, she was going to live a normal, ordinary life, and God moved in and said, I'm going to do something a little different. Verse 50, it says this here. It says, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Listen, what should have been ordinary turned into extraordinary. It wasn't that she went after some... Okay. It's not that she went after some extraordinary circumstances. It's not that Mary said, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go do something spectacular. Right? You know what I think I want to do? I think I want to go and make a difference in the world in this. I think I'm going to go and do this super awesome thing and everybody's going to know my name. My name's going to be written down. And people are going to be talking, they're going to be naming their children after me, right? It's going to be a wonderful thing, and I am going to be praised. Listen, this wasn't something she said, you know what she was doing? She's trying to live an ordinary life. So she wasn't going after extraordinary circumstances, but rather that extraordinary circumstance came to her. It came to her. Came to her life. See, God brings to us what is needed in our life. Right? God brings to each one of you what you need, what He needs to do in your life. You're like, well, what if I don't need it? If God wants to bring something to your life, I'm going to tell you, if God wants to use you to do something, He's going to leave some blessing behind in your life. God doesn't touch somebody to use them, but that some of that doesn't just stay on them. Right? Remember Moses? Remember that fella back there? He was up there talking to God. He comes down, and he's what? Glowing. It's like he'd been with an alien or something. He's glowing. Right? Being in the presence of God and being, and he's just glowing now. It's like, man, you got to hide your face. We just can't even look on you. God's on you. I'm not going to say we're going to glow like that, but I'm saying there is a blessing that sticks around on us when God uses us. And we call that the grace of God. The greatest blessings in life are not earned. That's what I'm going to say to you. The greatest blessings in life are not earned, but given. They're given us. Look at verse 51. He has showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He hath sent away empty. I'm telling you, listen, you cannot earn God's favor by doing. I want that to sink in for a minute. Because you're going to hear that and be like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Now, I want you to think about it. Because we might say that, but we kind of live like that. We don't earn God's favor by doing stuff. I'm going to do more. I'm going to do more. And I'm going to do more until God will notice me and then He'll have favor on me. No, no, no. We don't earn God's favor by doing. We earn it by being. Okay. What made Mary highly favored was not what she had already done. She didn't do anything. She didn't do the thing yet. What found her highly favored was that she would trust the Lord and what He was going to do. God, here's the thing. God knows your heart. You say, God, I can't do this. God says, I already know what you can do. I already know what you can do. Don't tell me, can you say, I don't know if God has this conversation with us. I think He would like to, maybe. I don't know. Don't tell me what you can do, right? I said you can do it, you can do it. Don't you think God wants to do that to you? I want to do that. Nope. You know, your kids, you say, go do it. No, I can't do it. Yes, you can. Go do it. I can't. I know you can do it. Go do it. I've seen you do it before. So, I mean, I think God wants to talk to us like that. Probably He does. I don't know if God's up there a lot of time. Like, I feel like He's like that with me. You know, just like, oh, man, again, what a knucklehead. Listen, we don't get God's favor on us because of what we've done. It's really about who we are. Trusting God. You say, well, trusting God is doing... The result of trusting God is that we do stuff. But trusting God is the thing that says, I believe Him. I believe Him. I believe God knows what's right. I believe God's going to do what's best for me. I believe God has... God is the creator of all. He is the one that probably knows better than me. Right? And so, He knows our heart. So this, I want to say, trust Him. Trust Him. Third thing, Mary's praise of God's faithfulness to His promise. Faithfulness to His promise. Look at verse 54. He hath hope in His servant Israel, in remembrance of His mercy, and as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. So, Mary recognized God was keeping century-old promises. These promises have gone. God had made a covenant thousands of years before this day came to her. Could you imagine that? God had made a promise thousands of years ago to this people, and that was the day here was coming. That was the day. We think, listen, we can think there's something about right now, like God is all about right now. No, God is about eternity. What's going on right now, it didn't just start right now. It's been going on for a while, and it's maybe one point is culminating here, but there's a lot of things God's doing. Listen, Mary wasn't the one special lady that was going to turn the world upside down. Now listen to what I'm saying to you. She was one of the characters in God's plan to fulfill His purpose. Man, what if she wouldn't have done it? Can I say this to you? I think they're very likely, maybe, I don't know, this could be, there could have been two or three other ladies that God would have liked to chose through history. Maybe not. I don't know. God's ways are a little bit higher than mine. I wonder if there was, if it took this, I think it's 420, 450 years, somewhere like that, actually, between the book of Malachi to now. I wonder if it took this long for there finally to be somebody willing to trust Him. What do you think about that? God had chosen her specifically way back here, but God was waiting. Of course, we know Mary's story and her lineage and Joseph's lineage. Probably God figured this out pretty well. Amen? But there could have been others. God doesn't force somebody to make a choice. God doesn't force you to follow His will. But here's somebody along the line. She was one of the characters fulfilling God's plan, God's purpose of eternity. God doesn't need you to fulfill His will. God doesn't need you to fulfill His purpose. He's letting us in on it. He's letting us in on being a part of what He's doing. What a fascinating event this was for Mary. She was brought into the eternal plan of God and given the opportunity to be used in fulfilling the will of God among men. Brought into this story. I don't think for a moment that Mary thought she was the worthy character that many have attempted to elevate her to today. I don't think Mary, I think of who she was and what I find here in the Word of God. She doesn't seem to have that characteristic that she was thinking, you know, I think people ought to make idols of me and hang them in church buildings and put them in, hang them off their mirrors or wherever. I don't think, that doesn't seem to be her character at all, does it? Doesn't seem to be some woman that think, man, I'm pretty awesome up there. I think what I see in her character is a woman that was thankful that she could be found to have favor with God. So who among us would say, I don't think I'd really want to have a part in the eternal plan of God?
I don't think I really want to get involved with that. I mean, who would say, yeah, I mean, no, I want to be saved, but I don't really want to be part of other people getting saved, right? I don't really want to be part of, you know, getting my name written in other books. You say, is there other books? I don't know. There's things going on past this in heaven. There's books. There are books in heaven, plural, right? It's up there in heaven. There's some things to talk about. You maybe God wants to have your name in the next one. Yeah, that's what I want. I want to get my name in the book. Anyway, I'm just saying, look here. Who would say, you know, I think I'd rather just sit on the bench and stay out of the game. Do you know what you call an athlete that wants to sit on the bench? I don't either. I mean, you know, I'd probably call him as not an athlete. Or whatever event you're in, whether it's not a sport or something, yeah, I just want to sit here. I just want to be on the roster. I don't really want to play. I mean, that's something strange. I don't want to get in the game. I just want to be on the bench. You know, maybe somebody would say, hey, listen, nothing risked, nothing lost, right? I cannot imagine a person that truly wanted to please God not wanting a role in this world of fulfilling God's will. I just can't imagine that. Can I say as a side note here, maybe it is the main point, I'm not sure, but if you have no interest in being used of God, in the work of God, there's something wrong in your spirit. See, if you have no interest, I don't really want to be a part, I just want to live my life in solitude. I want to be saved, but I don't want to have a part of anybody else being saved. I don't want a part of anything else. Something's wrong. Amen? Y'all with me? Y'all understand? I'm not saying everybody's going to be great at it, but some of this is, I don't really want a part of it. Something's wrong. It's not okay. Hey, listen, don't use your circumstances nor your own personal disposition to excuse yourself. Well, I just, you know, people say, one day when my finances get better, then I'm going to take Sundays off. Right? Have you ever been in a place that your finances were so good that you didn't need to work? I mean, before retirement. You know what I mean? When my finances get better, then I'm going to... No. Listen, or a personal disposition. I'm just not good at that. Listen, don't use those. I'm not saying that we all don't get a little fearful. A bit anxious. Even overwhelmed by the circumstances that come to us. Every one of us will find these popping up in our life. Fear, anxiety, overwhelmed, all these come to all of us, folks. The difference between one that continues to live for God, one that accepts what God wants to do in their life, and the one that doesn't, isn't that they never have fear or anxiety or to be overwhelmed. I think it's fair to say that that was Mary's situation in this passage. She seems like a lady that was troubled by what was coming to her. Look again back in verse 29. It says there, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, I see her as a woman that was troubled by what was coming on. So how do you come to that, Pastor? Well, the Word says it. Pretty deep theology here, right? But you know what she did? She went forth anyway, trusting God. Verse 49, again, it says, for he... for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Listen, I want to say this again here. Thankfulness grows when we view our small story within God's great story. Wow. Praise the Lord that he would let me... I mean, listen, on God's timeline... If his timeline, if from creation is here to the rapture or whatever is over there, you'd have to have a microscope to see our part. Wow, God's story is big, folks. And God's choosing to use you or I, our little people. Wow, praise the Lord that God would bring me into His great story. The fourth thing here, what Mary teaches us about Thanksgiving. I want to look at what Mary teaches about. Thanksgiving begins with worship. Look at verse 46 again. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Worship, as I'm saying here in this sense, is not so much what we come to do. We come to worship the Lord. We talk about a worship service. We use some of those phraseologies or what we intend to do or even what we purpose to do. Here it is that I want to talk about. Worship is really a automatic outflow of the thankfulness for what God has done for us. See, worship is not so much what we intend to do, it's what actually happens to us. This is why I continually and often urge you to come to the altar. It's a natural place of the outflow of worship when our hearts have been filled and we're moved by God, and I've just, God has stirred me. That's really where the altar began, the concept of this altar in our day and age versus the Old Testament. The altar in the Old Testament where you come and bring your animals and you rip separate their head from their neck, right? Blood, and you're like, that's gory. Yeah, it's a different deal. Amen. I'm glad we're not doing that up here. Aren't you? Cleaning crew would be different. It'd be different. I would not be a part of that. I wouldn't want to be. Maybe if God asked me to. I would, perplexity there. But the altar now is when God fills us, speaks to us, He does something in our hearts, and we're stirred, we're convicted, and there becomes now a natural kind of outflow of worship, of thanks, of praise, of God, I need something. And listen, there's something that comes out. This is what I'm talking about here. This is what we find here. That's what we see in Mary in what is known as the Magnificat, is what that's called. It's the Latin word for what we find in verse magnify. And so it's called that often. It's been given that name. It's known as Mary's song. It's a response to what God was doing in her life. If it's hard for us to worship God, it's very likely that we're not aware of what He's done. Thanksgiving grows from humility. It says, I'm not the main character in this story. God is. I'm a supporting character. The story isn't about me. But it's your life. No. My life isn't about me. My life is about Him. Every one of us are that way. It's His story. We're in it. And when I realize that God allows me to be in His story, it's overwhelming. It's quite overwhelming. Thanksgiving deepens when we trust God's promises. We are not of they that are to live under the circumstances. You know, people say, hey, how are you doing? Well, under the circumstances, I'm okay. Folks, can we stop doing that as believers? Under the circumstances, no, you are what you are, and where you are and what you are is because of the circumstances God brought to you. I'm not saying I like the circumstances all the time. Or any of the times, most of the time, you know. But I am today a result of the circumstances that God has allowed to come into my life and how I dealt with them. So we don't live under the circumstances. We are to live in the circumstances. The circumstances give you an opportunity to live for Jesus Christ in it. God is faithful. He is trustworthy. Thankfulness is deepened, it is broadened, and it is full when we'll trust Him. I'm not sure that we can truly be thankful to a God whom we can't trust. I think Mary gives us a great example of what what it means when God does something in our life, and it's overwhelming. Here's our conclusion this morning. Wow, that perks up all you. Pastor, you're early. Well, we're not done yet. Number one is this. Be thankful for what God is doing in your life. Can we be thankful for hard things? Man, that's hard to be thankful for hard things. You know how you're thankful for hard things? Trusting God. And simply trusting isn't so simple, is it? But is this, if God allowed this in my life, there's a reason. I'm going to trust Him. And this is a little bit confounding. It is. I'm not trying to pretend like I got it all figured out. It's confounding is this, because I want to get out of this situation, because it's a bad situation. But I also realize God brought it. But I want to get past it, right? I love the phrase that says, and it came to pass, right? It didn't come to stay, it came to pass. And I'm like, you know, God brought something. I'm like, you know what I want to do right away? God, I know this is You. I get it. I'm going to learn that lesson quick and be done, right? Amen? And sometimes God says, you got it, buddy. Now you're out of it. And other times He says, well, this is one that's going to take a little pain. And you know what I'm doing? I'm not wanting to say, man, I love the pain. Paul said, I take joy in tribulation. He was a little mental, right? Because he also said, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do, dude. That's what he said. Like, so he admitted that he's confounded. We're in that same group. So God, you brought this to my life for a reason. I'm going to trust You with it. Now, thank You, Lord, that You're working in my life. Man, I'm going to tell you. Let me ask you this question this morning, each one of you. What circumstances are in your life right now? Maybe something's already come to your mind during the message this morning. What circumstances? What's the circumstance that, man, popped up right there? You're thinking, man, that thing. And then you're like, well, there's also that thing. And then there's this other thing, and all that's come. Maybe you got a bunch of stuff going up in your head right now. You're like, man, hey, I've been doing all this stuff you're talking about. Fear, right? Perplexity, amazement, what's going on here, all that. Hey, listen, can you, and this is a question I want you to ask yourself. Can I come to this place this morning that I can say, God, I want to thank You for that? That's not easy. We're talking about next level Christianity, okay? We're not talking about just getting on the road. We're talking about living it. Hey, listen, we're not talking about just coming to church. We're talking about being part of it. Right? We're not talking about just, you know, getting saved. It's about being a light to the world. It's a little bit, it's next level. It's like, hey, listen, now some say, I don't think I really want next level. If God's brought something to you, God thinks you are. How about that? God thinks you're ready for something more. So can you thank God for the circumstances right now? Doesn't mean you like them. Second thing is this. Would you trust Him today, even though there is fear, amazement, and wonder? Will you trust Him anyway? Maybe what God is done in your life, maybe what thoughts are this morning is, and you know, even as I'm preparing this, you say, Pastor, how do you know these things? Because I live it. And you're like, you know, and I think about these things, I think about these things, I think about the situations that come and I'm dealing with the same stuff. And so here's the question I want to ask this morning. Can you, even in the midst of the unknown of all that, can you say, God, I want to trust You. I want to thank You for it anyway. Let's all stand together. Father, I do pray that You'd help us, Lord, help each one. Lord, we so desperately need You to work in our lives, Lord. You want to. You desire to. Lord, I pray that this morning, that even as we think about how You bring things into our way, Lord, I pray that You'd help us now, that we would trust You. We give You thanks for them. Pray that You'd move in the hearts of Your people this morning. We'll thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Maybe God spoke in your heart this morning and you'd say, you know, I don't even know if if I die today, if I would spend eternity in heaven. I don't know if none of this really even makes sense to me, and I just don't quite even understand all that. Let today be the day of your salvation. So how do I do that? Well, you come and you say, Pastor, I need to know about that. And we're going to have somebody with you and show you exactly how you can know for sure. And so I think I got it. Maybe, listen, we can have somebody that's already been through this and lived it and said, listen, they can show you how you can know and settle that once and for all. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, you know, and if, by the way, if you're like that this morning, come. Maybe you're here this morning and said, you know, I just want to thank God for this situation, the circumstances put into my life. If that's you, come. Now is the time.